Well, welcome this morning. We are in a series we're calling Scattered, Taking the Gospel to Everyone, Everywhere. And we've been, our plan is to study through Acts chapter 8 through 11 and look at, like, what are some of the principles and what are some of the practices that seem really clear here when it comes to sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with basically anyone and everyone we may come in contact with. And so if you brought a Bible with you, I'd ask you to open up or turn to Acts chapter 8. That's where we're going to start out today. And while you're going there, if we haven't met yet, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. And those who are watching or listening online, we're really glad that you've joined us. And we're glad that you all are here today as well. And when you get to Acts chapter 8, where we're going to start and pick up in is with verse 35. Now, we're going to talk about a larger portion of Scripture around that, but I'd like to begin with Acts chapter 8, verse 35. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, but you can follow along with what you brought with you. This is what it says. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, what I find remarkable about this is that here is Philip ready to share about Jesus, right? He's ready to talk about Jesus from this moment, right? He opens his mouth, and that's clearly the direction on where this is going. And this morning, what I'd like to do is look at the story about Philip and what's happening here and discover how you and I can also be ready in that moment to share the gospel when God gives us that opportunity. So let me kind of lay out the story for you real quick of what's going on here in Acts chapter 8. So you've got Philip. If you're here last week, we talked about the disciples being scattered after persecution broke out in Jerusalem. You've got disciples going everywhere, and they're preaching while they're running. And then Philip makes his way to Samaria, and he's teaching, and he's sharing the gospel and all this stuff. And after that moment's over, we see this where God tells Philip to go to this specific road. All right, I want you to travel to this specific road in this specific spot. And Philip does. And then it's kind of told who's on this road. There's this Ethiopian who happens to be a eunuch. He's a high-level official for the Candace of Ethiopia. It's probably a title, not so much a name. But this really well-known official, this high-up official, he's riding in a chariot, and Philip sees this. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, I want you to go over to that chariot. And amazingly, Philip does, right? He like responds. He says yes to the Holy Spirit. So he runs up next to the chariot and he's listening. He's watching, he's listening. And the scriptures say he hears the Ethiopian read the scriptures and he's reading from Isaiah. And Philip asks the question. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian goes, no, I don't. How can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me, right? And so basically, the Ethiopian invites Philip up into the chariot. They're riding along and talking about stuff. And this is where it says, Philip explains to this Ethiopian about who Jesus is, starting with that scripture. Well, over some time, it seems really clear that this Ethiopian comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and he's ready to be baptized. And so they come along some water, and the Ethiopian's like, hey, here's some water. Why shouldn't I get baptized? And Philip's like, okay, so they jump out of the chariot, they jump in the water, baptize the Ethiopian, right? And then it says the Holy Spirit kind of takes Philip away, and I don't know what that looked like. You know, if there's like a Scotty beam me up moment or what, you know, whatever, like he's flying or he just leaves, you know, and the Ethiopian's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But then it says he went on his way rejoicing. And he takes off, and he's like living this incredible life now that he knows who Jesus Christ is. Now, when you look at that story, and I was reading again, I'm praying about it. And all of a sudden, there were some things that became really clear to me that may be helpful for us when we're thinking about getting ready, being prepared to share the gospel with another person. So what I'd like to do is from this scripture is kind of expose four skills that will help you and I to be ready to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Now, let me share the four things with you real quick, and then we'll break into them. So the four things are this, right, is to learn how to hear and obey, okay? That's the first thing, to learn how to hear and obey. The second thing is to learn how to identify where someone is spiritually, okay? Learn how to hear and obey. Learn how to identify where someone is spiritually. The third thing is to learn how to share the gospel. And then the fourth thing is to learn how spiritual growth happens, okay? So learn how to hear and obey, learn how to identify where somebody is spiritually, learn how to share the gospel, and then learn how spiritual growth happens. Now, there's a lot that could be said about every single one of those things. So this is going to be a little bit of a flyby, a little bit of a surface level thing, but that's okay. And it's okay at the end of this to ask questions, to want to know more, all of that. That is perfectly all right. But let's jump into this thing. So first thing, if we're going to be ready and prepared to share the good news of Jesus with other people as God opens up the door, first thing is we've got to learn how to hear and obey. Now, Philip was familiar with God's voice. He was familiar with hearing God's voice. So when the Holy Spirit spoke, Philip's response was obedience, right? It was yes. Yes, I'll go do that. Look at verse 29 in Acts chapter 8, right? It says this, "And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot," right? It's not some mystical, weird, you know, you got to decipher what's going on here. The Holy Spirit's like really clear. You're here. I want you over there. And what does Philip do? Okay. He goes, right? He goes. He just does it. That in itself is phenomenal, right? That we just blow past that moment. I got to say, how many times have I heard the voice of God and not responded with a yes? But Philip hears the voice of God, not only once, but twice. And he goes, and he does it. That, to me, is remarkable. And so he knew, he was familiar with the voice of God, and he was willing to say yes. And you have to know this, that God speaking to his people is normal. That's a normal thing, right? He's always spoken to us. Think about it. From the beginning, Genesis, Adam and Eve, God is speaking with Adam and Eve. They know his voice. They know who he is. God speaks with Abraham. God speaks with Moses. God speaks with Jesus. God is speaking with, he's speaking to Philip, right? We see account after account of God speaking to his people, right? So it's a normal thing for God to speak to his people. And the reason that God speaks to his people is typically because he wants us to do something or know something, and he wants our response to be yes, right? That our response would be obedience, that when he asks us to do something, we would say yes. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip for the purpose of sharing the gospel with this Ethiopian, and Philip does it. Now, Philip knew how to hear God's voice. And if you and I can learn here how to hear God's voice, then that puts us in a better position to be able to say yes in those moments. Now, I would say this, learning to hear God's voice is as much a skill as it is a gift, okay? It's very much a gift, but it's also a skill that we can learn to develop in our own lives. And this is what I would say, the starting place, always, 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 over and above anything else. I've read books and I've heard of conferences, been to conferences, and like, you know, how to hear God's voice. And the starting place for a lot of those is always like the mechanics, right? This is how you do it. And this, you know, go in the room and it's all quiet, and then you got your journal and you blah, 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 you know? And I'm not saying that stuff's bad or that's wrong, but it always starts with the mechanics. But when we look at the scriptures, and it talks about, you know, learning to hear God's voice and responding with obedience, the beginning point always is a love relationship with God. That's always the starting point, right? Because if the goal is not to know him more, if the goal is not to be, you know, more in love with him, to be increasingly committed to him, then all we're really looking for, if we're going to be honest, is a spiritual experience that we can tell other people about. And look how awesome I am. I heard from God, right? And now it's just back on me. It's all about me. Right? But the starting place from a desire to know and to hear God's voice always starts with a love relationship with him. Now, that's the gift side of it. And it's a gift to be able to learn how to discern the voice of God, but you can also learn how to hear the voice of God. And I typically, when you look at scripture, I typically coach people in this way. If there's three primary ways that God speaks to us, right? He speaks to us through scripture. That's evident. He speaks to us through prayer, you know, the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us through other growing disciples. So when people tell me, they're like, hey, I'm really interested in hearing what God has to say to me, my first thing is go to scripture, be in prayer, get around other growing disciples. Because that's, right, it's not coming through the clouds, right? There's no tea leaves to be read, right? Those are not helpful things. God works through truth, and those are primary ways. Now, what I'd like to dial in this morning is to talk about the prayer side of hearing God, of learning to hear God's voice. If we can do that just for a moment. When we learn how to hear God's voice through prayer, that actually gives us an increased ability to say yes in real time situations where we might not always be able to do that. Now, when we talk about prayer, sometimes, I don't know if this is for you, sometimes it is for me, sometimes there's like a moment of uncomfortableness when we talk about prayer, right? Because I'll be a bit transparent with you. For most of my walk with Jesus Christ, when it comes to reading Scripture, no problem, right? I can spend copious amounts of times in Scripture, reading, studying, all this kind of stuff. When it comes to like hanging out with other growing disciples and talking about what he's doing in each of our lives and all that, no problem, right? You know, I meet over sandwiches or coffee or whatever, it doesn't matter. One of the places that I've struggled the most in my walk with Christ has been prayer. And I've had to do some very intentional things to push through those barriers. Maybe that's the same for you, or maybe it's the opposite for you. Maybe for you, prayer is like this really awesome strength for you. But many times when we pray, there's a level of uncomfortability when we begin to engage in prayer, especially if we haven't been engaging in prayer much at all, or we've been distant about prayer, okay? And I believe one of the reasons we have this level of uncomfortableness when we pray is I think prayer has this amazing ability to expose our spiritual emptiness when we engage in prayer. Let me say that again, because that's a powerful thought that we need to talk about a little bit more, that prayer has this ability to actually expose our spiritual emptiness. And I don't mean that in a guilt-driven way. What I mean is it this way. I think for many of us, we are comfortable. We have become comfortable. And I don't mean this in a negative way. We have become comfortable with being spiritually empty. And so when we engage in something like prayer where it really exposes that, there's a level of uncomfortability. It's like, woo, I liked it, but it was like, oh, I feel good, but I also feel distant, but I also feel like all of these things, because now we're beginning to see, kind of for the first time, what walking closely with God really looks like. And we've gotten used to being empty, and we don't realize how empty we may actually be until we start to pray in meaningful biblical ways, right? And so let me share a story with you. So I remember when I was in college, getting my degree and all of that, one of the classes was a spiritual formation class. And the assignment was to spend one continuous hour in prayer, right? 60 minutes uninterrupted in prayer. So I was like, I got this, right? I got this. So I get everything ready. Got my Bible out. I'm in the room. I got the coffee. Everything's ready to go. Perfect setup scenario. And I start praying. I'm praying. I'm praising God for all of his attributes. I'm just going through Scripture, right? And praising him for everything he is. Starting Genesis, I made it all the way through to the maps, right? So I got the whole thing. And then I'm praying for other people. And I'm asking God to bless them and bless him and see that and all this stuff and make ways and whatever. I mean, I'm praying for I'm even praying for local government officials, right? That's how deep in prayer I am in this. And so I'm getting close to the end of this, running out of people and things to pray for. And I get to the end, I'm like, oh yeah, dude, that was now. I got sweat beads, coming off and all of that. And I look at my phone and it's been 7 minutes. I'm like, no. It's time travel happened there or something. But So I'm trying to pray again. So the next week I come back at it, right? Because we're supposed to do this every week, once a week for the next 12 weeks, pray 1 hour uninterrupted. So the second week I'm praying more, a little bit further. But anyways, by the end of this time, I'm now praying 60 minutes without any interruption, any issue at all. Actually, it starts to cross over where 60 minutes isn't enough, and I don't really care, right? I'm now getting lost in this time of prayer, and it's wonderful. And it's one of the most remarkable ways I've spent my time and have continued to spend my time. But there's a level when we begin to break into this, right? There's this exposure to our spiritual emptiness. And the more we keep diving into it, we keep seeing how much further this relationship with God continues to go. The theologian J.I. Packer would probably guide us this way when it comes to prayer. He would say this: resist the urge to turn back from prayer and instead persist until you move through duty into delight, right? To go to push past the fact that this is discipline and you'll move into delight, right? Because there's a level where we're learning this, right? Because before it was life based on my values, life based on my best thinking, but now we're walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And now it's life based on his values, life based on his direction, right? And so pray to hear God's voice. Pray for opportunities to share the good news. Pray for boldness to speak clearly when the opportunities come, right? All of that's happening in times of prayer. But if we will learn how to hear God, that will help us to be ready to clearly share Jesus with other people. So learn how to hear and obey. Here's the second one. Learn how to identify where people are spiritually. Now, so Philip was really clearly able to identify where this Ethiopian was, right? He saw that he was a seeker. Here's how. Look at verse 30, right? It says this. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Right? And very quickly, Philip was able to identify this Ethiopian. He's a seeker. Right? He just came back from Jerusalem, worshiping at the temple. He's really interested in God. He's reading the scriptures on his travel, right? He's learning all of this stuff by listening and asking questions, right? That's what's going on here. But he realized that this guy actually didn't know about Jesus. So though he was interested in God, though he had some background in God, he was missing the centerpiece on this whole thing of what it is to know and walk with God. And so Philip used the art of listening and question asking to be able to identify where this guy was. See, here's what happens to you. I don't know if this happens to you. This happens to me many times, and I see it in the lives of other people too. A lot of times what you and I do is we get really, really prepared with our presentations, right? We're really, really prepared with our napkin and our drawing that's going to be on it, or the story and how we've coached it and how we're going to, you know, maneuver the conversation to get to where we want it to be, or, you know, our cube or whatever the tool is. We get really, really dialed in on the cube, and then when the opportunity comes up, we're just like, pow, pow, you know, just like gospel blasts at people, and you're just like blowing people up, you know? And then we're like, wow, they didn't want to listen to what I had to say anyways. You know, it's like, well, maybe we could take a cue from Philip and actually learn and discover how to ask questions and how to listen to discover where somebody may already be before we start telling them what they need to or what they should be doing, right? And so one of the best tools we can learn to use is question asking and listening, because what that helps us do is we begin to learn how to identify where people are spiritually, right? You've got to know that. People are in different places in their spiritual journey. And if you can identify where they're at, that's actually really helpful to help them take next steps, meaningful next steps in their lives. Here's a tool to be able to do that. It's called phrases from the stage, all right? We all use them. We all use these phrases from the stage, and some we don't even realize we're using them. We're like constantly identifying where we are in our spiritual journey. And once you start to learn, you know, there's many to identify where people are maybe at. It becomes really helpful to help walk with them in their spiritual journey. So somebody who may say a phrase like this, they say, this one's pretty clear. "I don't believe in God." Perhaps they are not a Christian, right? Perhaps someone who says, "I don't believe in God," is not a believer. That's a pretty easy one, right? And so that's a phrase somebody who's not a Christ follower would probably say. Or is like, you know, I'm a good person, and so I think I'm going to be okay. I don't need religion or Jesus or whatever. That seems to identify where somebody is not a Christ follower and what we might call, the Bible might refer to, as spiritually dead, right? But then there's other phrases from the stage that begin to identify where people may be at. Because you might have somebody who, say, is in a group or you're in a conversation, they're like, "Oh, well, I didn't know the Bible said that," right? It's not that they're opposed to it, they just didn't know, right? Or they would say, you know, "Yeah, I believe in Christ, but I don't think I need to go to church to do that," right? Many times what we'll do is we'll lump them off and say, "Oh, well, that person's clearly not a Christian because they don't know their Bible well enough, and they don't see the importance of going to church." Well, that might be true, but the other thing might be this. Maybe they got saved like 5 minutes ago, and they don't know Scripture because nobody's ever discipled them on how to read it. Maybe nobody's ever talked to them the importance of why we gather together to help us each other grow in your faith. So it could be that they actually are of faith, but nobody's walked with them. Nobody's discipled them to help them know who God is, right? Another phrase, and so we would refer to that person as like a spiritual infant, right? They're new. That's what Scripture talks about. They don't, you know, they just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Another phrase from the stage might be something like this. I really love my small group. Don't change anything. Nobody's allowed to leave. Nobody new is allowed to come, right? Just keep it the way it is. And so that may be a sign that somebody's a spirit, you know, Scripture refer to them as a spiritual child, right? A little, you know, they love God. They know who he is, but a little bit me-centered. A little bit me-centered, so we want to help them kind of grow other ways. Another phrase might be this. I think I might be able to lead a small group, but I think I would need some help to do that. That's a phrase that somebody, Scripture would refer to as a spiritual young adult, somebody who's like very excited, very energized. They want to help, they want to serve, and learn and grow in that. And then here's a last phrase from the stage that may help identify where somebody's at is something like this. Pray for me. I've got this guy at work who's asking me questions, and I want to help him, you know, but pray for me as I'm walking with him. That Scripture would refer to that person as probably like a spiritual parent, somebody who is, you know, they got their antenna aware, they understand what's going on, how spiritual growth happens, and they want to help people grow in their walk with Christ. But when you're able to identify where somebody may be spiritually. Now, these aren't hard and fast, right? These are just more guideposts and can be helpful. But when you can begin to identify where people are at, you can actually help them take meaningful next steps of growth in their life, right? So learn how to identify where people are spiritually, and you'll be better prepared to share Jesus. Here's the third one. Learn how to share the gospel. Learn how to share the gospel. So Philip was ready. He was ready the moment the door opened to be able to share the gospel. Look at verse 32 here. It says this. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus, right? Now, I think this is remarkable. You have Philip beginning with where the Ethiopian guy is, right? He's reading in scripture, and he just starts sharing the gospel from that point, taking it from there and going forward, right? Like, I think about that. Here's a really interesting side note. Think about this. You've got the Holy Spirit giving Philip really clear direction. I want you to go to this road on this place, go into this city. And Philip does it. And then the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go over into that chariot. And Philip does it. But you don't see the Holy Spirit directing him explicitly anymore after this point. The Holy Spirit didn't have to say to Philip, okay, now I want you to share the gospel with this guy. Philip just did it. It was just a part of who he was, right? It's what we talked about last week. What's overflowing in your heart? It just bubbles out. You don't have to be told. You don't have to be coached. You don't have to be. It just begins to happen. I think another interesting thing is this. Philip starts with the gospel. He's like able to talk about Jesus, starting with Isaiah 53. That's where this guy was reading, was in Isaiah 53. And I wonder, like, how many of us could start with nearly any Old Testament passage and begin talking about the good news of Jesus Christ from that point forward? Philip could. And here's why he could do it. Jesus said after he was resurrected, remember he meets these guys going to Emmaus, and he starts teaching them about the Messiah, and it says, starting with Moses and all the prophets, right, he exposed how all of the scripture pointed to him. Right? So all of the scripture is pointing to Jesus, and Philip was able to leverage that. And so I imagine that Philip told the Ethiopian, you know, looking at Isaiah 53 from these scriptures, and said, yeah, see the spotless lamb that's being talked about? That's Jesus. Jesus is the spotless lamb of God who paid for our sins. And he was actually denied justice so that we might live, right? He deserved no punishment. He deserved nothing wrong to ever happen to him. But he was denied justice so that we could live and know God for all of eternity, right? So he took this, I believe that's what Philip did. He took this scripture and pointed to Jesus really clearly. And so you and I, when we learn how to share the gospel really clearly, that puts us in a really great position to be able to tell people and to share with people when we're identifying that that's where they're at. So I think this is a good moment actually to pause and just talk about this question. Because I think sometimes we talk about the gospel, we talk about the good news, and we all go, yeah, yeah, the gospel. Yeah, yeah, the good news. What is that again? You know, and we're kind of like, isn't that where, like, if you say a prayer in church and then you go to heaven, right? That's the good news. Like, yeah, no, that's not what that is. I don't know what that is, but that's not the gospel, right? So here, let's just kind of run through the gospel really quickly. I think this is a helpful thing to do. Here, let me just kind of break down the gospel really quickly for us. God is our creator. That's where it starts. God's our creator. He's the creator of everything. He's our creator, and he's different from anything else. That speaks to his holiness. God is our creator, and he's different from anything else, and everything he does is right. That speaks to his righteousness. Okay? So we have a creator God who's fully holy and fully righteous, right? And he created us to know him and to walk with him. We chose, and we continuously choose, to live lives independent of God. We choose to live self-directed lifestyles where I will do what I want to do as opposed to what God would ask me to do, right? Living in obedience to him. That's sin. And I know it gets played out in all kinds of different ways, really evil, hurtful things that people do. But the core essence of sin every single time is I will do what I want to do over and above what you want me to do, God, right? That's sin. Now, the consequence of sin every single time is total and complete separation from God. Why? Because he's holy and he's righteous, right? And it just breaks that relationship. And that is the situation every one of us are in outside of Christ. We are totally and completely broken, separated from God, okay? And you're like, where's the good news? I haven't heard anything good yet. Well, that's where we're coming. Because in this, there's this but moment, right? And the but is this, but God does not desire us to be totally and completely separated from him. He desires us to know him, to walk with him, to love him, right? To worship him. All of that. So much so that Jesus, the holy and righteous one, the Son of God, right, leaves the glory of heaven, wraps himself in flesh, lives a perfect lifestyle while the whole world is in opposition to him in that endeavor, right? And he dies a sacrificial death, facing separation from the Father and the wrath of God for the sins we deserve. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus Christ, who never did one thing wrong, he's holy, he's righteous, right? He's God! And he faced separation from the Father and death so that you and I might live, right? And so the only way we can be brought back into relationship with God is through faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, right? Genuinely asking him to be our forgiver, genuinely asking him to be our leader, right? Like refusing to live self-led lives and instead choosing to live lives directed by God and the Holy Spirit, right? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're exposing. That's what we're putting in front of people, right? And so when you can learn how to share the gospel really, really clearly, that puts you in a better position to be able to share when those opportunities come up, right? And so there's lots and lots of different ways that you could share the gospel, right? You can learn how to tell your own story of how Jesus has changed your life. There's different tools like the bridge illustration, if you've ever heard of that before. There's different tools like the Evangicube, which is pretty thoughtful and helpful. Tools like what's known as the Romans Road. There's one called the Three Circles, right? These are all just tools. They're not silver bullets, right? You can't just use them and it's going to solve everything. But what they are is they're just different tools. And actually, when you learn how to share the gospel in multiple ways, you actually begin to realize, oh, this one actually might be more helpful in this situation as opposed to this situation, right? Now, If you want to be exposed to some different ideas, we have a book in the bookstore called Becoming a Contagious Christian, and I think it's chapter 14. There's a whole chapter just lent itself towards, here are different ways to talk about the gospel. And so to read that and study up on that is a good and helpful thing. You can pick that up today if you like. But when you're ready to share the gospel, when you know how to share it really clearly in different ways, it prepares you to be ready to share the gospel with people you come in contact with, okay? So learn how to hear and obey. Learn how to identify where people are spiritually. Learn how to share the gospel. And here's the last one. Learn how spiritual growth happens, or learn how to grow spiritually. Now, the Ethiopian said yes. It seems really clear from this scripture. We don't have the exact story going on here, but it seems abundantly clear that the Ethiopian says yes to Jesus as his forgiver and leader. And along the travels, Philip explains to him, baptism is a good next step for somebody who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Because look at verse 36. It says this, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing," right? And so the Ethiopian comes to faith in Jesus. Philip has explained to him, baptism is your best next step of walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. Well, how did Philip know that? Well, because he learned that from the apostles. How did the apostles know that? They learned that from Jesus, right? Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. And here's the way you're going to do it. You're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That baptism is actually the first step in a lifetime of obedience, of walking with God. Right? That's where Philip picked that up, from the apostles, who picked it up from Jesus, who gave that clearly to us. When you learn how spiritual growth happens in your own life, and you can begin to identify it in the lives of others, actually really sets you up in a good position to be able to help not only yourself in partnership with the Holy Spirit, but then to also help other people around you take meaningful steps of growth too. So this is where we go back to for a moment, identifying where somebody may be spiritually in their journey, right? Because if you identify somebody as they're spiritually dead or they're not a believer, you know, what does that person need? Jesus, right? Like that's kind of the basic fundamental thing. And so, you know, through question asking and listening and all that kind of stuff, you begin to find out where they are, and you build friendship, and then, you know, just naturally, right? It's not, they're not a project. They're not, you know, not a notch on your belt or, you know, in your Bible or whatever. It's just someone you love and a friend and whatever, and you begin to find out, and there's moments where you begin to be able to share the gospel with somebody who's not a Christian, right? But then there's also, right, we identified others where, you know, there's people who are spiritual infants or children or young adults or parents, right? When you begin to identify where they're at, you can actually kind of help guide them and coach them, right? Not force them, because you can't say yes for someone else, right? You can only kind of just, you know, put the opportunity in front of them. So somebody who's just come to faith, you know, for me, when I've, you know, discovered somebody's probably a spiritual infant and they're new to the faith, what I typically want to do is like help them take the step of baptism pretty early, because that's what Jesus asks us to do. And then I want to teach them how to like read scripture and discover the character of God. Like, who is this God that I've just given my life to? And helping them learn how to pray and all of that different stuff, right? And that's because you got to know what you got to know. So if they were a spiritual child, all right, somebody who's kind of a little bit me-centric and they don't want anything to change, I'd probably spend time diving in with them on how to build meaningful friendships with other people and diving in, deepening into the understanding of the love of God, right? That it's not just the love of God for me, but it's the love of God for you and the people who are out there and the people who are over there, right? It's like it's everybody, right? Like the love of God is really clear. If somebody's a young adult, right, and they're like really excited about, you know, walking with God and being engaged in ministry, I would help that person learn and discover what their spiritual gifts are and then give them room to start serving in ministry, all right? Like start using their gifts, start using their talents, start using their lives for the glory of God. And then if I found somebody's a spiritual parent, I would like encourage them and coach them on how disciple making happens. How does somebody grow spiritually? How can you pray for them? How can you walk with them? How can you encourage them? All of those things. And I would say this, a lot of times when we talk about sharing the gospel, we get really, really like focused on like how to share the gospel, right? The mechanics behind that and different tools and ways to do that. But I would say just as important as learning how to share the gospel is learning how does spiritual growth happen. Because here's what happens way too often. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you experienced it, right? It's like you meet somebody and they're sharing the love of Christ with you and all this kind of stuff. And then they're like, they say, yes, yes, I want to come to know Jesus. And you're like, great. You know, and you pray with them and you talk with them and you're like, and then you're like, now what? You're like, see you at church, you know, like, see you on Sunday, right? Like, that's how it was for me. Like, no, nobody really walked with me very well. So I just did what everybody else was doing, right? Like, I was there Sunday morning for Sunday school and Sunday morning service and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I remember one Saturday they had, like, this conference and Miss Ohio was going to be there. And I showed up, right? It was a women's conference, but I didn't know that till later. I just knew the doors were open, right? So I went. Nobody told me, right? So I was just like doing what everybody else was doing. And I think about, you know, how could, you know, I'm thankful for what God's done in that time period, but how could my life have been different if somebody would have like walked with me? Hey, this is how, you know, because I was the guy in the room and they're like, everybody open up to John. And I'm in the back in 1 John. You know, I'm like, there's no chapter 14 back here. You know, and everybody's like chuckling, you know, oh, new guy. You know, it'd be really nice to have somebody walking with me, like teaching me and coaching me, that kind of stuff. That's why we talk, you know, learning how to grow spiritually, learning how to walk with other people well is as important as knowing how to share the gospel clearly, right? It's one of the reasons we spend time talking about those different types of things. But because now you'll know what to do when somebody says yes. So here's what I'd like you to do just for a moment. You came in, you should have been handed a packet. Josh and Brian talked about the connection card. Just find that real quick, and I just want you to look on the back. See, here's the thing. We don't put like next steps on the back here because like, well, there's a back of card, we got to use it. You know, we don't want to leave it blank. No, actually, these are steps that actually could help you grow in your journey if that seems right. So for some today, the next step for you actually may be becoming a follower of Jesus, right? Putting your faith in Jesus as your forgiver and leader. For some, it may be to memorize, take a risk on memorizing some scripture and committing that into your mind, into your spirit. Right? Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I really want to learn more about how to help others take steps of growth in their life. Or, you know, maybe you're ready to engage in ministry and start discovering some of your spiritual gifts. And so every week, these, I don't know if you notice, but these change every single week, usually dialed in either with the teaching or something that's going on in the life of the church. We don't do stuff just to do stuff, because we're a church, and so a church should do stuff. We try to do only the purposeful things that are going to help people take meaningful steps of growth in their life. And so you're here this morning, and maybe there's a step on here that's helpful for you, and you would take a risk on taking. I would do that. And maybe there's not one on here today, but maybe there will be next week, right? And so like looking at these and thinking through that, this is just a way for us to help you take those steps, right? See, Philip was ready in a moment. In a moment to share the gospel, right? The Holy Spirit asked him and he did it, right? Why? Because he was prepared, right? He knew the voice of God. He knew how to say yes. He was able to identify where people were spiritually. He knew how to share the gospel, even from Isaiah 53, right? He knew how spiritual growth happened and what next steps would be helpful. And you and I can actually learn to do that too. It's not a secret. It's really not. It's just taking time to dive in, look at scripture, and learn from that. And that's what we're doing. You know, a few months ago, I had a guy reach out to me, and he said, hey, I have some real questions about faith and Jesus and God and all of that. Could we meet? And I was like, yeah, we can meet. So we met together for lunch. But the first thing I did before we ever even met was this. I spent time praying for him. I spent time praying for our time together that we would meet, you know, that God would clearly, you know, his spirit would be present, that he would reveal truth, that this wouldn't be a Fritz-led moment, this would be a Holy Spirit-led moment, right, that God would direct this thing. So I spent time praying for him and our time together. Then one of the first things I did when we sat down, because I didn't really know him very well, is I just asked him questions. I just asked him questions and I listened to what was going on in his life. I found out a lot of things. It's amazing what people will share about themselves when you just ask questions and you listen, right? It's actually really remarkable. We're actually pretty close now because of that lunch. But I'm listening, I'm asking questions, all of this stuff. And in the course of that conversation, I find out that he tells me, he goes, you know, actually I was there Christmas Eve night for your guys' service, and you invited us to put our faith in Jesus And I did that night. And I don't understand a lot about that. And I need help. And I was like, cool. I think perhaps we can talk about that. And so I pulled out my little napkin, because you always got a napkin at a restaurant. And I drew some things out for him regarding the gospel, right? What it was, what it meant, all that kind of stuff. And I showed it to him, and I said, does this make sense? He's like, yes, I did that. I did that Christmas Eve night. I was like, cool. So then the next thing we started talking about was, hey, have you taken the step of baptism? And he's like, no, what is that? What does that mean? So we talked throughout all of that. We talked about how to study scripture. We talked about how to pray. We talked about all of those different types of things, right? See, what I'm sharing with you, it's not like some principled, you know, hey, this is a philosophy that may work. Like, this is real stuff. This is real stuff that comes right out of Acts chapter 8. And you and I can use and leverage in real day life to help people take steps of growth and to grow closer with God. Here's the really amazing thing. When you're actually helping other people grow in their faith, you know what happens? You start growing in your faith too. It's like this really remarkable thing. Here I am pouring into the lives of other people, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is pouring into mine, stretching me, filling me, growing me. It's remarkable. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works that way, but I know it works that way. And so when you learn how to hear God, when you learn how to identify where somebody is spiritually, how to share the gospel, how spiritual growth happens in the lives of other people, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position to take the gospel to everyone, everywhere, right? I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask this question we ask every Sunday at Lighthouse, and it's simply this. Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? And I just want you to listen. And so maybe this morning, for the first time, like you're beginning to realize, like, oh, wow, I can actually be ready. I can be prepared. God can help me be ready to share the gospel. Maybe this is one of the first times you've heard the gospel kind of from front to finish. And it's not just about praying a prayer and going to heaven, but there's actually a lot more involved in that. Maybe this morning being exposed to how people grow spiritually, that may be helpful for you and may be helpful for somebody else you know as well. But no matter where you're at and what God's saying to you right now, here at Lighthouse, we really have a desire to pray for you. And I'd like you to stay in a mode of prayer right now and just kind of listen to the Father. But one of the things we do at the close of every service is we always sing one more song. And that song's really important because during that time, we have leaders who are making their way to the front of the room even now. And what they're going to do is they're going to be available to you to pray about any area of your life. Right? It doesn't matter. And so if you're one of those leaders, if you want to start making your way to the front right now, that would be fantastic. And what they're going to do is they're trained and they're ready to pray with you about any area of your life, something spiritual, a next step you want to take, something, you know, maybe this morning you're going to cross the line of faith. Maybe this morning you want to have somebody pray with you about a relationship that's going on, something at work, something in your health, whatever it may be. These people are ready and trained to pray with you. And you don't have to ever be embarrassed to want prayer. Every one of us needs prayer. And so let me pray for you. And then we're going to sing this song. And you can come forward at any time to receive prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.